حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله قاسم الجبارين، مبير الظالمين، مدرك الهاربين، والصلاة والسلام وتحية والإكرام على النبي الأمي المكي المدني الهاشمي الذي اسمه في السماء بأحمد وفي الأرض بأبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الهداة المهديين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ورحمة الله على محبيهم ومواليهم وشيعتهم أجمعين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم وقتليهم وغاصب حقوقهم ومنكري فضائلهم العنين. أما بعد، for the happiness of Hazrat Zahra-e Marziya, for the enlightenment of the graves of your marhumin, of the graves of the shuhada, ulama and siddiqeen, for the safety of the followers of Ahlul Bayt around the world, and for the safety and the hastening of the reappearance of Hazrat Baqiyatullah al-A'zam arwahuna al-fida, please recite aloud a salawat. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is Rahman, the one who is Rahim, the one who placed us amongst the followers of that household that Imam al-Sajjad introduces in Salawat Sha'baniya as Al-Fulk al-Jariyati fil-Lujaj al-Ghamira. He says that they are ships that sail upon unfathomless seas. يأمن من ركبها ويغرق من تركها المتقدم لهم مارق والمتأخر عنهم زاهق واللازم لهم لاحق. The one that believed in them was saved. The one that disbelieved in them was destroyed. The one that went too far ahead of them was lost. The one that stayed too far behind them was misguided. واللازم لهم لاحق. But the one that walked with them, that stayed with them at every single step, was reunited with them. This family, this household that we gather to remember, is that household that wants to take us towards our ultimate aim, and that is the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahlul Bayt are not the be-all and end-all of our existence. The be-all and end-all of our existence is Allah Azza wa Jal. And the only way towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through the path of Ahlul Bayt. They are the ones that take us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please recite the salat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Ahlul Bayt are those that take us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They want to take us towards our perfection. But we are required to follow what they want from us. One third of the months of spirituality have left us, and we've entered into the second third, that is the month of Sha'ban, leading towards the peak of our spiritual journey, that is Shahr Ramadan. And at the end of Rajab and at the start of Sha'ban, if I take stock of my life and ask myself, have I progressed spiritually towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? 1 month has passed by. 1 month of constantly praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dua of Rajab. where we're saying and we're acknowledging in regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya man yu'ti al-kathir bil-qaleel, Ya man yu'ti man sa'ala, Ya man yu'ti man lam yas'alhu wa man lam ya'rifhu, tahannunan minhu wa rahma. Oh, the one who gives to the one that asks from him. Oh, the one that gives to the one that does not ask from him. Oh, the one that gives to the one that does not even acknowledge his existence. Tahannunan minhu wa rahma. Out of his infinite mercy. Such a merciful Lord. And we have that opportunity to go towards him. Have we taken that opportunity? Or is it the case that Rajab goes and I don't get a chance to fast? Sha'ban goes and I don't get a chance to do the mustahab fast. Shah Ramadan comes and I'm just getting into the flow and it ends. So now I think, you know what, I'm going to change my life for the better. I'm going to change my life. Now I've started to recite Quran regularly. I'm going to start reciting Quran regularly. I'm in the flow of fasting, so I'm going to continue my mustahab fasts. The day of Eid comes, and maybe I've missed my Salat al-Fajr. Then I say, no, I'm going to try and get back into it. And then before I know it, it's Rajab again, and Sha'ban. And then again, Shah Ramadan, and the cycle starts again. At what point will I wake up and realize that my ultimate aim is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? At what point will I realize that Ahlul Bayt are not just there for me to tell stories about? They're not just there for me to weep about. But instead they're there to take me towards my higher purpose, towards my higher existence. And one of those personalities from amongst Ahlul Bayt is Imam Al-Husayn salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. That Imam that we have gathered to remember here. We're passing through the ayyam of the wiladat of three great personalities. And inshallah, if I get time towards the end, I'll try and find a common theme between these three personalities. But for the time being, I want to focus on the personality of Abi Abdullah. You see, Sayyidul Shuhada holds a different status from amongst all the Imams. All the Imams are at a higher level. They're all at the same level. They're all Nur al-Wahid. They all come from one Nur. But yet, Sayyidul Shuhada, there is something unique about him. There is something unique about Imam al-Husayn. Such that Imam al-Hadi falls ill, he sends someone to Karbala. He says, go to Karbala and stand under the dome of my grandfather and ask for my shifa'a. He turns around and says, Imam, are you not the Hujjah of Allah? Are you not the Hujjah of Allah upon the earth? Why is it that you don't ask for your own shifa'a? He says, yes, I am the Hujjah of Allah. But the status of my grandfather, Imam al-Husayn, is different. The Holy Prophet ascends on Mi'raj and he sees inscribed upon the pillars of the arch, Inna al-Husayn misba'ul huda wa safinatun najah, that Husayn is the lantern of guidance and the ark of salvation. Someone comes to the eighth Imam, says, Imam, are you not all arks of salvation? The Imam replies, yes, we are. Yes, we will take you towards salvation, but know that the ark of my grandfather, Abi Abdullah, is far vaster. It can take more people. It's far faster. It can help you reach salvation quicker. Abi Abdullah has a different status. In Khasa'is al-Husayniyah of Sheikh Ja'far Shushtari, he lists a number numerous amounts of virtues that distinguish Abi Abdullah from all the other Imams. We haven't got time to go into all of them, but just a couple for us to be able to understand the Imam who we remember today. And then we want to try and see what lessons we can take from his life. Because like I said before, Ahlul Bayt have not just come for us to recite their fada'il. Yes, it has its place. Or just their masa'ib. No, it has its place as well. But they came for a higher purpose. In regards to Abi Abdullah, Sheikh Ja'far Shushtari says that within heaven, there is a door specifically for Abi Abdullah. And he gives the hadith of the Holy Prophet. He says, "Inna al-Husayn babun min abwab al-Jannah." He says, surely Hussein is a door from amongst the doors of Jannah. Heaven has hell has seven doors. Heaven has eight. The eighth door is the door of Abi Abdullah. This is the door where we desire to enter heaven through. This is that door that we hope that we will enter into heaven. This is that door where the lovers of Abi Abdullah will enter from. The Shia of Imam al-Husayn will enter from. This is that door that the Dhakir of Ahlul Bayt will enter from. This is that door that the individual that hoovers the carpets before the mu'mineen come to sit in the remembrance of Abi Abdullah will enter from. This is the door of that individual, or for that individual that cooked food for the mu'mineen and mu'minat in the name of Abi Abdullah. This is that door where we desire to go, because we don't want a Jannah without Hussein. We don't want... Was that just me? So you can laugh, it was a joke. So sometimes you get really uptight. You're in majlis and then we think, oh my God, can't smile, can't do anything. And then it makes me nervous as well, because then I think, what have I said? You know, some people looking murderous. So, you know, it's good. And plus we're in, you know, it's a mawlid as well. So a little bit of happiness doesn't hurt us. You know, we spend quite a lot of the year crying. So, you know, every now and then when we get a bit happy, you know, it's good to show it. So recite aloud salawat to show how happy you are. That didn't sound very happy. Another one to show how really how happy you are. We can work with that one, inshallah. There is a door in Jannah reserved for those that serve the cause of Imam al-Husayn. This is the door that Sayyida will stand at, welcoming people. This is that door that we want to enter from, the door of Husayn in Jannah. Abi Abdullah is that individual that when he is born, they bring the child to Rasulullah. Or Rasulullah asks for the child. And the aunt of Rasulullah says, let me clean him. He's just been born. Let me wash him and then give him to you. Rasulullah turns to her. He says, aunt, do you desire to clean him? Do you desire to purify him? No, know that he has come purified from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is no normal child. This Imam that we remember. And constantly when you read Khasa'is al-Husayniyah, you find these various traits that are reserved for Abu Abdullah. For example, around the Zari'i, he says that, Sheikh Ja'far Shushtari says that there are 70,000 malaika appointed to circumambulate the Zari'i of Abu Abdullah. And they circumambulated day and night, and they do not leave, except that they don't leave at all. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down 70,000 more malaika every day who spend one day circumambulating the zari' of Abu Abdullah, then return and never get another opportunity again. And another 70,000 are sent down. So every day 140,000 malaika encircle the grave of Abu Abdullah, praying for everyone that comes there to do his ziyarah. And not just anyone that goes to do his ziyara. See, Ahlul Bayt, like we recite in the ziyara on Friday of the Imam of our time, we say that you are kareemun min awladil kiram. The generosity extends beyond what we can contemplate, what we can imagine. That you sitting here sending salams to Abu Abdullah, know that the reply comes. Know that your salam is reaching Imam al-Hussein. It is not a requirement that you go to Karbala. It's great if you can. But just sitting here and thinking of Imam al-Hussein, sending salams upon Abi Abdullah. See, when Abu Abdullah is born, tribes of the Malaika were descending to come and congratulate the Holy Prophet. They said that there was one Malik, Futras. He sat and he had done Tarki Aula, so either, according to some narrations, his wings had burnt off, others his wings had been tied, others his wings had been removed. Either way, he was unable to fly. He sees all of these angels going down to earth. He sees Jibreel. He says, Jibreel, where? Where is everyone going? He says, do you not know that Hussein has been born? He says, take me with you. Take me with you. So Jibreel brings Futras down to the house of the Holy Prophet. Gets given permission to come inside. The Holy Prophet says, Futras, go and rub yourself against the cradle of Aba Abdullah. Futras goes, he rubs himself against the cradle of Imam al-Hussein. His wings grow back. Jibreel says, Futras, you have got what you wanted. Let's go. He says, no. He says, I don't want to return to the earth, to the heavens. He says, leave me upon the earth. Jibreel says, Futras, what are you going to do? He says, until I have life, I will stay with Abi Abdullah. And anyone, anywhere within the world that sends salams upon Aba Abdullah, I will take their salams and convey it to Imam al-Hussein. Don't think that you sending salams from here will not reach Karbala. Don't think that you asking for your hajat through the wasila of Imam al-Hussein won't reach him. Know that they are malaika here, ready for the sake of Aba Abdullah. So what is it that we can gain from Imam al-Hussein? What is it that we can take from his life? One of the biggest events through history and in the life of Aba Abdullah is the event of Karbala. When you want to compress the whole of Karbala into one sentence, what would you say? Everything that you see from the time Imam al-Hussein leaves Medina until the Asr of Ashura, what is Karbala? Karbala is the greatest love story ever told. The love story between Abd and Ma'bud. Between the slave and the master. Between the lover and the beloved. Because Aba Abdullah was drowned in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the time he's leaving Medina, or when he's giving his khutbah in Mecca, where he's saying, Man kana badhilan muhjata wa mumattinan ala liqa'illah, falyarhal ma'na inni rahilun musbihan insha'Allah. Those of you that have made the intention to spend your blood in our way, and have made a firm intention to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, come with me, for I am leaving Mecca in the morning. The journey was towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The journey was an understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Drowned in the love of Allah, such that he can hold a 6-month-old having just been killed in his hands and say, my Lord, this is easy for me to bear, knowing that you are watching. after having given a brother like Abbas, after having given a son like Ali ibn Akbar, after having given Ali Asghar, after giving all his friends and family members, after facing thirst, he rides out into the battlefield of Karbala. إِلَهِ تَرَكْتُ الْخَلْقَ طُرًّا فِي هَوَاكَ وَأَيْتَمْتُ الْأَيَالَ لِكَيْ أَرَاكَ وَإِنْ كَتَّعْتَنِي بِالْحُبِّ إِرَبًا إِرَبًا لِمَالَ الْفُؤَادُ إِلَى السِّوَاكَ. My Lord, I have left the whole of creation for your sake, and I have orphaned my children so that I may see you. And even if these swords were to come and cut me to pieces, my Lord, my heart would turn to none but you. This is Karbala, the greatest love story ever told. What do we learn from Karbala? We learn how to fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn how to disassociate ourselves from the dunya, yet still living within it. Karbala, Abu Abdullah, they came to teach us the ways to travel towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not just Abu Abdullah, every single individual in there. And when we get another opportunity, inshallah, we'll talk about those individuals. But just look at the personality of Imam al-Hussein. This is one side. But what about those that were intent on killing him? See, we await an imam, and Karbala, there are many parallels between that society and our society. There were many that desired to be with the imam, but when it came to the crunch, then they're saying, take my horse, take my spear, take my sword, but don't ask me to come. The imam of the time is standing in front of them. I think that maybe if I say, Ya Hussein, I do many mawlids, I recite many musibas, I cry for Abu Abdullah, that all of a sudden when the imam of my time comes, that I'll straight away, yes, I'll be able to join with him. But yet I don't want to do all the other wajibat, the mustahabbat, this will be enough for me. I don't want to do any of these, but I think that that will be enough. I don't want to concentrate on what I'm eating, when I'm eating. Because one of the things that Abi Abdullah says to the army of Yazid, he says, the reason why my words are not having any effect on you is because your stomachs have the food of haram within them. They have the food of haram within them. Meaning that they had been given money in order to fight against Abu Abdullah. Relate it to our times. I'm supposed to be working for an hour, 30 minutes, I'm bunking off, pretending to do something that I'm not really doing. That half an hour, I'm getting paid for an hour, I'm only doing half an hour's work. I'm working enough hours in the day as a self-employed individual, but I'm telling HMRC that I'm working less so I can get all my other benefits and things. I'm lying in order to gain that extra money. But yet I still have that desire to meet with the imam of my time. I still have that desire that I'll be able to recognize my imam. These are the minutiae of our spiritual development. Black and white fiqh, yes, we have that. But what about the minutiae? Those finer points. Imam al-Hussein standing on the plains of Karbala. One last hadith. Standing on the plains of Karbala, he sums up the whole mentality of the army of Yazid. He says, "Annas abidu dunya wa din la'ikun ala al-sinatihim." He says, mankind is a slave of this world and the deen is but a taste on their tongue. When it suits them, then everybody's very religious. More religious than, holier than thou. When it suits them. When it does not suit them, kalla dayyanun, the very few of them are religious. Very few of them have that deen. When it suits me, yes, okay, I'll pray, but I won't give khums. Doesn't apply to me. I'll pray, I'll give khums, but I don't want to grow a beard. Why do I have to wear hijab? Oh, why do I need to do this, this, this? For example. Pick and choose. Faz Abu Abdullah is saying, no, those that are Husseinis, they don't pick and choose. They submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They submit to the command of their master, to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wholly. There isn't a pick and choose culture in the culture of the Husseinis. No, the Husseini way is you take everything. The ark of salvation is only the ark of salvation when you choose to embark upon it. If there was a flood coming behind me and I stood on some pedestal or sat on some big chair and spoke about the impending doom, and I saw in front of me a ship that I could get on that would save me, but instead I chose to stand outside or sit outside and say, look how beautiful the ship is, look how beautifully it's made, look how fast it moves, look how it can withstand any attack, what would you call me? See, the guy's a moron. Behind him is a huge wave that's going to wipe him away. In front of him is a ship that could save him. Why is he not embarking upon it? This is exactly what we do. We sing the fada'il of Imam al-Hussein. We say, look how great Imam was. Look how miraculous his birth was. Look how many malaika came to visit him. Look how he gave shifa'a to Futrus. But now when Imam al-Hussein is saying that we are the ones, we are saying that pay homes. We are telling you to do this. We are telling you to do this. Where the Imam is saying, inni uhibbu salah, asking for one extra night on the night of Ashura, for what, the opportunity to pray, but yet I have no connection towards prayer. I haven't embarked upon the ark of salvation. Instead, I'm that individual on the pedestal singing the praises of salvation, but without embarking. الناس عبيد الدنيا ودين لعك على ألسنتهم. Man is but a slave of this world, and the religion is nothing but a taste upon his tongue. When it suits him, it's fine. But when it does not, كلا ديانون. Then very few of them are religious. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins. Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the sins of our parents. Oh Allah, those of our parents that are alive, give them long lives. Those of our parents that have left this world, give them a place next to Ali Muhammad in Jannah. Oh Allah, those who are ill, give them shifa'a. Those who are in debt, clear their debts. Ya Allah, keep our ulama and our maraji at the head of our institutions. Ya Allah, keep safe the Shia of Ali Muhammad around the world. Ya Allah, destroy the enemies of tashayyu in whichever form they may come. Ya Allah, hasten the reappearance of the Imam of our time and allow us to be amongst his true muntadireen, his true awaiters, for the acceptance of these du'as and any other du'as that the brothers and sisters have brought to this Milad program. Please recite aloud, salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.